Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. Listen, I am so fired up and excited that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And so I hope you got a cup of coffee, cup of Joe. Hope you have your Bible and you're ready to get into the Word of God. We're going to continue our series this morning. We've just called Jesus And. And today we're going to look at Jesus and the good portion. And so it was funny, this past week, I had a chance to touch base with a woman in our church, Lucinda. Hey, Lucinda. I know you're watching, but for those of you that know Lucinda, she is probably one of the most godly women I know. In fact, when I'm around her, I barely feel like I'm a Christian, okay? But Lucinda, she shared with me how she had just a rough week, and she said that she threw what she just called a spiritual temper tantrum, where she was like mad at God and just kind of started whining about stuff and was just kind of bleeding out onto her mother and her family. And she said she just realized it. I just threw a spiritual temper tantrum. And I asked her, I was like, I love that word because I can resonate with that. And you know what? I think you will too as we look at the life of Martha today. Because Martha is going to be a hot mess as we read about today. She's going to have a meltdown, but Jesus is going to give her a solution to her spiritual temper tantrum. And that is this, is that there's one necessary thing she needs in her life, and she needs to also choose the good portion. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into the scriptures this morning, I'm going to need to take up our tithe and offering, and just so grateful for those of you that have partnered with us in the tithe and the offering, helping us to build the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read for you Matthew chapter 26, verses 7 through 13. It says this. It says, a woman came up to him being Jesus, with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. Other gospels would call this nard. I know it doesn't sound very sexy, but nard was actually a very powerful and pungent perfume. It says, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. We'd find out later that she is Mary, the sister of Martha. Verse 8, it says, and when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? The reason why they're saying that is this bottle of nard cost about 1 year's wages, her life savings, and she poured it out on Jesus. Verse 9, it says, for this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, whenever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And I just want to highlight two things from this. Like, number one, do you realize like this extravagant offering that Mary did for Jesus? Like, she anointed his body with this pungent perfume called nard. And so much so that Jesus says, it's preparing me for burial. So in other words, as Jesus, he hung on the cross and he's about ready to breathe his last breath, and he yells out, it is finished. And he takes his last breath, and the last thing he would have smelled was this beautiful nard, the fragrant offering of Mary. And here's what I love as well. Such a powerful expression in giving to Jesus, that Jesus says this, whenever the gospel is proclaimed, you're going to hear about this woman, and you're hearing about Mary 2,000 years later, we're still talking about her. And so listen, I believe the tithe and the offering, it's a powerful time. It's a holy moment, and it's a way we get to bless the Lord. And so God bless you as you bless him in the tithe and the offering. And as always, there's three ways that we can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, hit the giving icon. Or secondly, you can give via text It's called Push Pay, and my family and I give this way. But you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. It's a fantastically easy way to give. And lastly, if you want, you can also mail in your tithe and offering here at our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And as always, God bless you as you give. And all right, let's get into the Word now. And I want to frame up our time this morning with a story, as always. This one I'm reluctant to tell you, but I'll do it anyways. And so this was a couple years back. I can remember we just finished a staff meeting. I needed to dash out of the staff meeting to get on a conference call that I was having with our churches in Manhattan. And so I got in this conference call, put my earbuds in. I'm driving to the gym, and on my way, I notice, oh no, I need gas. So I got the earbuds in. Okay, I need to go get gas, and I'm hoping to make it to the gym. And so all these things are going on. I don't know if I've told you this, but I cannot multitask. And so I pull into the gas station while I'm trying to talk on this conference call. And so I kind of mouth to the guy, fill it up, please. And then I gave him my credit card. And he says, fill it up. I'm like, yes, fill it up, you know, and so did that thing. And so I'm kind of waiting, and suddenly the conference call goes sideways. And so we're getting heated and we're having intense fellowship, if you will. And so one thing leads to another. Anyways, cars filled up. I drive away. I get to my gym, and it's one of those trips where I'm so engrossed in my, my conference call that I don't even hardly remember driving there. And so I get there, and finally I'm waiting in the parking lot about ready to go in. And I realized, as I was checking my wallet to go in, that my credit card wasn't there. And I thought, the gas station dude didn't give me my credit card back. And then I looked, and I saw that the needle on the fuel gauge hadn't moved. It was still almost empty. And I'm like, hey, he didn't fill up my gas tank either. And then I thought about it. I'm like, hey, I don't remember him coming and telling me he was finished pumping gas yet. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, should I drive all the way back over to here to this gas station on Route 10? The cops were there. They thought I had stolen the car and that I was driving off. They took my credit card. There was like a warrant waiting for me at my home. Turns out I get there and the cops are cracking up laughing. Come to find out they were hockey fans. And so I was playing the hockey card and the New York Jets chaplain card. But all that to say this is, listen, I was distracted. And what happened? I left empty and wanting, and I made a mess for everybody. And that's our story today. That is going to be our character, Martha, as we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And so if you have your Bible, let's get in there. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says this. It says, now, as they went on their way, they being Jesus and the 12 disciples, it says, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And so this is Martha's house, and she's inviting Jesus and the disciples to come stay with her. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted. By the way, that word distracted, it means to be ripped apart, to pull apart or to pull away from. And so, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So I need you to see this. Now she's telling God what to do. Sound familiar? Verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Listen, whenever the Lord says your name twice, you're in trouble or this is serious, all right? And so he's trying to calm her down. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And here's our money line, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. And so I want to highlight those two things, Jesus' solution for living a distracted, a pulled apart life. The two things that Jesus said is this, is that there's one necessary thing and that you need to choose the good portion for your life. And so, Lord, I pray you give us great grace as we open your word and drink a cup of coffee in Jesus' name. And so I love that this verse, this section is in our Bible. Like, listen, it's so ordinary, yet so real, is it not? Like, it's painfully real. If you think about it, let me guess. So two sisters fighting during a dinner and it gets really awkward, right? Does that sound familiar? Like, that hits home. Now listen, we read about Martha and Mary there about three times in the scripture. One time, they're in the valley, right? The valley was this. Their brother Lazarus was deathly ill and sick, and so they needed Jesus to come through for them. And it's funny, in that moment, man, Martha and Mary, they're not distracted, they're dialed in to Jesus. And I resonate with that. Like, when I'm in the valley, are you kidding me? Man, I can dial in to the Lord and nothing will distract me. Why? Because I'm desperate and I need Him. How about this? The other time we see them is on a mountaintop, if you will. Like in John 12, after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, that Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're sitting over a meal together. Like what? Like, Jesus is near. He's close. Jesus has answered our prayers. Like, how many, I mean, I pray that you have those seasons of your life where just the Word of God feels so real. Jesus, He feels so near and so close. Like, it's the spiritual mountaintop. And on those seasons, it's very easy to dial in to Jesus. But listen, most of our life are not in the mountaintop and it's not in the valley, but it's in the ordinary, the day to day. And I love that God saw fit to put in the Holy Scriptures a scene of a dinner where two sisters are fighting. Like, this should so hit home for us, is that, Martha, like, she's serving and doing all this stuff and she's so busy and it seems like nobody is appreciating her. Come on, moms, anyone out there that you're working hard and you just want to sit and have a meal? Come on, guys, like, and yet the kids won't let you rest. And so you can see this going on, but I love that it says this, to be distracted. Dis means away, traction means to pull. And so it's actually, Martha is being pulled away from the presence of Jesus. And listen, in the ordinary busyness of our day-to-day life, I resonate with that sometimes I feel I'm just distracted and pulled away from Jesus. I mean, we just see this in the life of Mary and Joseph, don't we? It says they went into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They get busy with, oh man, we got to get back home to Nazareth, right? And so they go a day's journey, and they realize, oh my goodness, where's Jesus? We left Him back in Jerusalem. And so I resonate with that. And so how do we dial into Jesus during the ordinary moments? Well, Jesus is going to help us. He says there's one necessary thing, one non-negotiable. And He said, number two, that Mary, she's chosen the good portion. So there's a good portion that you and I, we can choose. And so let's talk about that. Let's look at this. Number one is the one necessary thing. Like, there's one main thing that can change everything. Did you get that? Like, there is one main thing that can change everything in your life. If you do this one thing, it will lift up everything. So there's a great book out there, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And he references what he just calls the keystone habits. And so these are simple habits that you can do that seem to affect and lift all these other areas of your life. And so I love the keystone habit. He references 23-time Olympic gold medal Michael Phelps. Maybe you've heard of him. And Phelps had a keystone habit that he learned early on in his life. And that's this. He learned to race his races in his mind first. Like, every night before he went to bed, he would play the videotape of the perfect race. And so mentally, in his head, from everything, from diving into the water to each stroke, he mentally rehearsed it in his head, racing the perfect weight race. Fast forward to the Beijing Olympics, 2008. Phelps, ready? He's played it in his head. He's got his goggles on. He's on the starting blocks. Gun goes off. He dives into the water, and what happens to him? His goggles fill up with water, and suddenly he's forced to swim the race in the dark, blind, as his goggles have filled up, but he was unmoved and unfazed. Why? Because he had raced that race mentally in his head a million different times. He knew exactly how many strokes until he just counted it in his head, 18, 19, 21, and he knew the wall should be there. Boom, he hits the wall, comes up out of the water, and what does he see? A WR, world record, and yet another gold medal. Why? Because he had a keystone habit, one necessary thing that infected everything. And here's our one necessary thing, and that is this. We need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. Like we notice in our story that Mary, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Like this was a symbol, like disciples would sit at the feet of Jesus. A disciple is just a learner. And so we see that she's listening and that she's a learner. And so time with Jesus is the one necessary thing. It is the one non-negotiable if you want to win in the faith. You have a choice today. You can fill up or you can dry up, but there is no other option. Like you can fill up or dry up. I remember the story is, Pastor Bruce Ho, in our church in Manhattan. By the way, for those of you that know Pastor Bruce, he's actually going to Taiwan and going to pastor, our Every Nation Church in Taiwan. So way to go, Pastor Bruce. But, Pastor Bruce, they might not want him after I tell the story. But Pastor Bruce rented a car and he picked up a bunch of us pastors. We were driving to our church in D.C. and we're driving there. We got on the turnpike. Pastor Bruce is real excited because he likes to drive and doesn't have a car in Manhattan. And so he rented this car and we're cruising along and we're talking and laughing. We got the music playing until suddenly Bruce turns on his hazard lights and starts pulling over to the side of the road. And I kind of looked at him. I'm like, bro, you got to go to the bathroom or something? And he just very casually looks at me and he goes, no, we're running out of gas. And so for the first time in my life, a car had run out of gas. And why? Because Pastor Bruce forgot to fill up the rental car. And so you have a choice today. Man, you can fill up with the Lord or you will dry up. But there is no other option. Do you remember what Jesus said before he sent out the disciples? He said this, freely you have received, freely give. And so my question to you, if you have not received from the Lord, what on earth will you have to give other people? Like I'm familiar, I think I've shared this story with you before, but you may have heard of George Mueller. George Mueller was a man. He planted started orphanages throughout England, and as he would plant these orphanages, he said he was going to build them all by faith, do nothing but believe God for the finances to provide for these orphan children. And so you can imagine kind of the weight and the pressure. In one scene, in fact, George Mueller in his biography, he talks about this that there was no food. And so, but he just knew by faith that God was going to come through. And so we had all the children sit down at the table prepared to eat, but there's no food. Then there came a knock on the door. And sure enough, what had happened? A dairy truck had broken down. And so they asked, we have nothing to, everything is going to go bad in the truck. Would you be interested in taking, our dairy and our cheeses, for your orphanage? Thank you. So the kids were going to have a lot of milk and a lot of cheese, and I hope they weren't lactose intolerant, right? But what a great story. Man, God coming through. And I love what Mueller, he says this. I'm going to read for you what he says. Mueller says this, the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord. Like, how does he stay focused into Jesus? He says, listen, I need to pray and be into the Word. I need to make my soul happy in God. Then I'm prepared for anything life throws at me. And so the Word of God and prayer are a non-negotiable for the believer, for the Christian. And so if you're going to combat distraction, remember being pulled away from Jesus, to combat distraction, we're going to do it with devotion. Devotion. Like think about it. Devote. Everyone's wanting you to vote this year, and you need to vote. Vote, vote, vote. But this is one area where you need to devote yourself. You lose your ability to vote. This is a non-negotiable. This is going to happen. The Word of God and prayer. Listen, I'll say this about the Word of God. Like reading your Bible, I've never met a strong Christian that didn't read their Bible, and I've never met a weak Christian who did. It is essential to the spiritual vitality and life of the believer. And then as well, so there's the Word of God, and it's always goes hand in hand with prayer. In other words, talking to God. And I'll tell you this, for me, like the Word of God, it comes very easy. I love to read the Word of God. Prayer, it was a discipline for me. I had to discipline myself to pray. And so I can remember, like, it was such a discipline that I would literally just get my phone out. I'd put a timer on for 30 minutes. And I said, listen, I'm just going to stay in a posture of prayer for 30 minutes. I can pray longer, but I will not pray any less than that. And here's what was the amazing thing. As I started adding that routine to my life, I can't begin to tell you. See, prayer went from a discipline to a delight. Like now I wake up in the morning, I'm so excited to grab my coffee and I get to talk to Jesus. You know, and here's another cool thing, another cool promise. When these spiritual disciplines go from discipline to delight, I love Psalm 37:4. It says this, delight yourself in the Lord. And guess what? He's going to give you the desires of your heart. And so listen, if you do this one thing, everything else will be lifted up. It'll change everything. So the Word of God and prayer is a keystone habit for your life. Let's look at this. This one's for free. I will say this is my opinion. I believe if you're going to get into the Word of God and prayer, it needs to be the number one priority, and therefore it needs to be first in your day. Listen, I know some of my morning people, if you're a morning person, you're putting in the chat, amen, pastor, that's good. And if you're a night person, you just think that I am the Antichrist right now. But I feel like I have some Bible verses to prove it, all right? Do you know that Psalm 63, verse 1, that David, the psalmist, is going to say this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Do you know it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that Jesus, and rising up very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed, he being Jesus. Jesus got up early and prayed to his Father. So I got Bible on my side. Here's something else I got on my side. I got science on my side. Do you know that neuroscience, it says this, that the first 20 minutes of your day are unbelievably vital. Like it's an unbelievably powerful moment where your brain waves are functioning in such a way, it's like a super highway to your subconscious mind. And so you have to ask yourself, what are you putting into your brain the first 20 minutes of your life? Like if your first 20 minutes consist of Facebook, Instagram, BuzzFeed, like all that garbage is going into your subconscious mind, and your subconscious is framing your outlook on the world. If you're filling it with Fox or CNN, wherever you're at here this morning, man, just this negativity going on, then that is going to frame your outlook. And so why don't we start the first 20 minutes of our day in the life-giving Word of God, because this one thing will change everything in your life. Let's look at number two. So Jesus says there's one necessary thing, and then he's going to reference this, the good portion. He said this, that Mary has chosen the good portion. And so here's what we need to learn from that the good portion, it's a choice. Listen, you're not a spiritual victim, that you can choose the good portion for your life. No one's a victim and just held into these circumstances where you can't choose the good portion. You can't get into the Word of God. But if you're like me, now you're asking yourself, hey, pastor, what is the good portion? Well, let me explain it, but it might take me a little bit to get there. So I got to tell you, probably 6 to 7 years into my marriage, I came across a revolutionary book. So I'm sure most of you, I hope most of you married folk have read this, but it's by Gary Chapman. It's called The Five Love Languages. And so it was revolutionary in my marriage. And so if you remember the book, you remember that Chapman's premise is this, that there's basically five love languages that we speak. They would be this. They would be words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, physical touch, and acts of service, right? And so those are kind of the five. And here, let me give you a snapshot of my marriage. And so my number one love language is words. Like, what I want to happen today, Susan, if you're watching this, I want you to tell me, you preach so great, honey, all right? And so that's my love language. I come alive with that. My wife's number one love language is gifts. And so my last love language is gifts. And so can you see the train wreck waiting to happen? By the way, my wife's last one are words, right? And so I'm telling her she's beautiful, and she's like, you know, who cares? But why don't you show me you love me by buying me something? And then for me, she's like buying me stuff. I'm getting mad she's spending the money. I'm like, just tell me I'm awesome, okay? And so, but once we found out one another's love language, absolute game changer. And I think we can agree, Mary and Martha, two very different individuals. Like if Martha had a love language, hers was going to be service, right? So she's like, serve, serve, serve. That's the way she shows, she gives and receives love. And so you can imagine seeing Mary just sitting there. What is she doing? She's judging her sister Mary. Mary, what? You just lazy, laying around, don't love Jesus while I'm serving because I love him so much. Right? And then you know what we're going to find out later on is Mary's love language is what? Quality time and gifts. Because what does she do? She takes the alabaster thing of nard and what? Pours it all over Jesus, this extravagant gift. And so Mary, I don't know if this happened or not, but I would imagine Mary would be sitting looking at Martha going, wow, you're cheap. You don't love Jesus. Just cooking him a meal. Who cares, man? I'm buying him stuff, right? And so you can see this kind of train wreck that can happen. And here's a side note. Listen, as a pastor, I want to be sure that we are all just valuing one another's expression of ways we love Jesus. Like some of us are very contemplative, and listen, we could be freaking out in our soul just in worship, but we look very reserved. And other people, man, hands raised and doing all that stuff, and that's their expression of love to Jesus. And we need to honor and celebrate all of them, all right? And so I wanted to say that. But listen, so in the same way we give and receive love in different ways, did you know this, that you have been created, like your purpose, God created you to bear his image in the earth. Did you know that that's what God created you to do? Like you're to reflect the glory of God into the earth. But the reality is that we need certain things if we're going to optimally reflect God's image. And so there's certain things that we need to fill up our heart and in our soul that we might do that well. And so Jesus will say this, if salt has lost its saltiness, well, what good is it? And same with us, like if image bearers are not adequately reflecting the glory of God, then what good are we? And so there's certain things I need that I might reflect Jesus's image well. I need a good portion in my life, and a good portion will help me fight the good fight of faith. And so, listen, I want to show you what the good portion is for me in my life. Your good portion may look very different than mine, and I'm sure it probably will. But let me show you mine. And listen, I promise you, this is not going to feel very spiritual, but I guarantee you this, it is, because there's so much at stake. What's at stake? Man, you being the glory of God in the earth. And so let me give you the good portion, what it looks like for me. And this is what you choose, the good portion. Listen, number one is this. I need 7 hours of sleep, right? Listen, I don't know about you. I can function on 4 or 5, but can we agree? Or I can get too much. Like if I get too much sleep, man, I'm just kind of groggy and lethargic all day. If I get too little, What happens then is, man, I'm an emotional cripple. Anybody else? Like what happens, man, patience decreases and drama increases in my life when I don't get enough sleep. And listen, can we agree that we're not exactly the glory of God when we're tired? I can recall that, the ugly parts begin to manifest in our life. If you remember the prophet Elisha, man, Elijah, he calls down fire from heaven. He brings repentance to Israel. And then after all this stuff, he starts burning it on either end too much. And do you remember what happened? Suddenly he went from calling down fire till he's asking God to kill him. And he's in a horrible funk and depression. And what is the angel of the Lord appears to him. And do you remember what he says? He says, "Hey, Elijah, take a nap and eat some food. And after you've done that, take another nap." Like, did you catch that? Like, Elijah is one of the greatest prophets in our Old Testament. But the angel of the Lord, what was his prescription? Man, you need to get some rest if you're going to bear the image of God well. And so I'm speaking to some of you this morning. Like, you're trying to live your life on Starbucks and five hour energy, and then you're wondering why you're not reflecting the glory of God in the earth. Man, you need to get some sleep. Did you know this? That, do you remember in the creation narrative when God creates, he creates everything, and then he creates humanity, what, on day six? And do you remember what he did day seven? Rested. Like, humanity, we begin with rest, and out of that rest, then we go on with the rest of our week. Our week begins with rest, that we might be the glory of God. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the Jewish day, it started at nightfall? Why? Because the day is going to begin with rest, that we might recharge, refresh, and that during the daylight, we might be the glory and the image of God. And so for me, I need 7 hours. That's the good portion for me to be the best me I can be for the glory of God. Here's another one. Number two is this. Laughter. Did you know that Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says this, laughter, it does the heart good like a medicine. It's a medicine for our soul. And I love, like, science is catching up with the Bible, because even science would say this, that laughter, it boosts your immune system. It improves our circulation. Do you know it increases the endorphins in our body that fights off stress and cortisol? I mean, like, it is unbelievable. Like, our mood lifts, all these things just from laughter. And if this is a time of honesty, just so you know this, I can tend to be Captain Serious, okay? I know that might surprise some of you. If I'm not careful, I can go pretty melancholy. And so I've learned early on in my life, if I want to bear the image of God well, I need to laugh. And so I've surrounded my life with funny people. I try to get funny people in my life. That's why we got Pastor Shino all the way in from Nashville, right? That's why Pastor Dottie is with us. Like, on our staff, we value humor. Why? Because as pastors, we're constantly faced with tragedy, sickness, disease, divorce, all these different things. And so what? We need laughter to keep us lifted and image bearers of God. I can remember a story after my fifth back surgery. I was at home. I wasn't able to work or do anything. And I could feel just a malaise, a gray fall over my life. There was a subtle depression that I was in. And here's the thing about being depressed. When you're depressed, you know you're depressed. You just don't know how to get out of it. And I can remember I'm just sitting at my desk and kind of spiraling downward. My daughter had left for work. And then 15 minutes later, she comes back in. And I'm like, she startled me when she came back in. And I'm like, "Baby, what's wrong?" And she says, "Dad, I'm an idiot." She says, "Look it. I still have my slippers on." And so I started cracking up laughing. I was like, you know, it's such a simple thing. But man, that darkness, it vanished. Just by that bit of laughter, it broke something off my life. Why? Because laughter, it does a heart good like a medicine. I need to laugh. It's the good portion for me. What about you? Number three is this. I need to work out. You know, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says, a familiar verse, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable for all things." But don't miss the fact that the scripture just said that bodily exercise, it profits us a little, all right? And for me, it's a lot. Like, I need to exercise and work out. When I don't exercise, I get a low-grade self-hate, a dislike of myself. And when I feel that, I tend to project it onto other people. And so it's not good for my family. It's not good for my church, all these different things. And so for me to bear the image of God well, man, I need to get my swole on and get on that bench press and do stuff. If you remember the iconic film Chariots of Fire, tells the story of Eric Liddell. And Eric Liddell, he knew he had a calling on his life to be a missionary to China, but he also knew this, that God made him fast. And there's one dialogue and discourse between his sister that was kind of rebuking him for doing these trivial things like running and sporting events, as opposed to, man, this epic call to China. And here's what Liddell said, if you remember. He says this. He says, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." And so, listen, for Eric Liddell and for Adam Burt, man, I need to exercise. Like, when I run and work out, I feel the smile of God upon my life. It's a good portion for me. And what is it for you? Here'd be number four, and this would be my last one. I could keep going, though. Number four is this, the nature and outdoors. Like, I need to get outside in nature if I'm going to be the image bearer of God that I'm called to be. And I believe I got Bible on my side for this. Because, you know, in Genesis 2, it says that God created a beautiful garden, and he called it Eden. Eden means delight. It's a delightful place. And did you notice what God says in that about the garden that he created? He says this, it was pleasant to the eyes. See, there's something restorative about beauty in nature. There just is something soul-stirring, soul-recreating in our lives. It's why when you go on vacation, you go to oceans and mountains and you don't go to Nebraska. If you're from Nebraska, I apologize. I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just saying you go to the ocean or to the mountains. You just don't go to some place in the middle of nowhere, right? Because we love to just be captivated by beauty. That the psalmist in Psalm 19, he'll say this, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Listen, if there's a more beautiful place than the Northeast during the fall, I've yet to experience it. It's a soul-stirring experience. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, as he stood on the coast of North Africa, and as he's overlooking the ocean, he's quoted as saying this. He says, "If these be the beauties afforded to sinful humanity, what does God have in store for those who love him?" See, there is something soul-stirring about nature and being outside to Augustine. It was a good portion for him. Do you know that the World Health Organization estimates this, that we spend 93% of our time indoors. 93% of our time indoors. Now, after this pandemic, I can't fathom what the numbers are, but it's no coincidence that depression has gone up. See, it's hard. We've been created to get outside in God's creation. And so I choose to get outside into nature. Why? That I might refresh and stir my soul and bear the image of God in the earth. For me, it's the good portion. And so you have to find what is the good portion for you. And if you get the good portion, you can fight the good fight of faith. And so I'm going to close, but not before giving you homework. And here's your homework for this. You know you have to do the one necessary thing. Get into the Word of God in prayer. When are you going to do that? You know, we've said this before. You're never going to find time to get into the Word and get into the Scriptures and to pray. But you can make time. And so when are you going to make time to get into the Word of God? And then here's the second thing is this. What's the good portion for you? Like, what do you need that you might be the image of God in the earth, to be the best you that God created you to be? And I'll end with this last quote. I believe we quoted it a couple weeks back, but I think it's pertinent. There's a saint, Saint Irenaeus. Just so I can give you a little backdrop to who he is. Like, Irenaeus, he was discipled by a man by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp was discipled by John, the apostle of love, and John was discipled by Jesus. And so can we agree that this Irenaeus might know what he's talking about? And I love this quote. He says this, "The glory of God is man fully alive." And I would submit to you that you become fully alive by figuring out what's the good portion for your life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. And Lord, I just thank you for this simple message. But Lord, thank you. As we do simple things well, Lord, you can absolutely do monumental things in us and through us. And so, Lord, I pray, that we'd be, number one, a people of the word and a people of prayer, and that each of us would find our good portion to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Every Nation, I want to remind you that that we have virtual prayer immediately following our broadcast here today on our Facebook live feed. So if you need prayer, we'll have a virtual prayer counselor there for you. As well, if you'd like to talk to me, or maybe we could kick around what it means to your good portion, you can join me today. We'll be at on a virtual hospitality. Our Zoom call, conference call number will be on right at the end. When I say amen, there'll be a slide come up with our Zoom number, and I'm going to be there today. And so if you'd like to talk about our message or whatever you might have on your heart, I would love to meet you and talk with you. And then lastly, my last announcement is just remember that we will not be meeting in person next week, but once again, we'll be right here meeting virtually. And so God bless you, Every Nation, New Jersey. God loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation, New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.